So I'm going to start off pretty real with you guys. Is that all right if we just go real, pretty quick, pretty deep? So I had this, I had a dream a couple weeks ago, and in this dream, there was all this language I couldn't read. I had no idea what the language said. But then there were three words in English, and it said love, fire, and zeal. Y'all know about fire and zeal. You know what God said in the dream? You're lacking love. And I was like, I woke up and I was like, oh, well, you're calling me out that I'm lacking love in my heart and my life. Then I had another dream a couple weeks later, and I was at this table with three people. The middle person, the left person, I recognized, I knew who they were. They were former friends I felt had betrayed me. And I was at the table telling them how I felt that they had betrayed me. But there was a third person there who was blurred out. And I didn't know who the third person was. And I woke up from the dream and I knew instantly, I need to forgive the two people that I felt betrayed me. And the third person that was blurred out is either another person or a lot of people that God was going to start bringing up. And so I went on this prayer retreat and I worked on forgiving those two people. And it took me like probably like an hour just to really process through what had taken place in my heart, how I felt like I had been hurt and betrayed by them. And then as I went deeper, that third person that was blurred out was like 10 or 15 other people. And God is just going deep in my heart, getting this hidden sin. I didn't even know it was in there. I thought I had dealt with this stuff, but obviously I hadn't. That God had to bring up a dream. God also used Meredith to confront me, by the way. My wife is perfect at that. She's always really good at calling me out. And I want to be honest with you about something too. I met with Rick a couple weeks ago. And I had sinned against him unintentionally in the moment. And so I had to go back and I had to ask his forgiveness. And I'm thankful for him. He forgave me. Thanks, Rick. He's still here today, right? Yes. So we're good friends. All right. So I had sinned and I had recognized it afterwards. And I was like, man, I messed up. So the next week I needed to go back and have a conversation. And I hope I didn't make any excuses. I said, Rick, I'm not here to make excuses. I'm going to take responsibility for myself. So what God was beginning to do in this season, he's like, you need to work on loving people better. Oh, P.S. I had another dream. I forgot to put in my notes. I had another dream of someone that God showed me something I need to pray for them to just to continue to grow in. And God said, you need to love this person better in the dream. And it was like three dreams about, Jared, this is an area of growth. You really need to focus in this area. And you know what I was learning, I was catching on? The Father was beginning to prune my heart. He was going after the things that were those that needed to get cut out and pruned and cut off probably, right? And thrown away so God can continue to transform me. So it brings us to this in this John 15. That's where God brought me. He's like, I'm pruning you. So let's get in the Word and see what verses 1 and 2 say, and we'll break it down together. Jesus speaking, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they'll produce even more fruit. So Jesus is the grapevine. He is our source as disciple makers. So this means that there's also false sources. How many of y'all ever traveled to Europe? Anyone ever been to Europe? You know they got different plugs than we do. So if you bring your American plug over there and you plug it in, it's either not going to work or it's gonna break your phone, right? So there's these sources that you can plug into in your life, intentionally or unintentionally, that are gonna start either not charging your battery or they're gonna break your battery. So think about my life, right? Where was my heart plugged into? And I'm gonna be real again. My heart was plugged into bitterness, to hatred, to anger, and to unforgiveness. Those were what was beneath the surface in my heart, and I didn't even know that they were there. That the Holy Spirit had to search my heart and to reveal these hidden things so he could begin to clean me up and to clean me out. So you have to ask yourself this question too. What are you plugged into? What's your source? What's feeding you? Is it truly Jesus? Right? Because I thought it was truly Jesus and Jesus said, hey, you're not fully plugged into me. You're plugged in these other things you need to get unplugged from. Is it self-sufficiency? Is it pride? Is it busyness? Is it affirmation of others? Is it addiction of some sort that's hidden that no people know about? Or is it something else, right? It's going to be different for different people, but what are you plugged into that you maybe you don't know you're plugged into, but that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Psalm 139 says he searches the hidden areas of our hearts and he reveals our hidden sin that offends God. So the Holy Spirit is fully active in all this. So the grapevine supplies the necessary nutrients for the branch to grow and produce fruit. So when you're connected to the vine, it's going to grow. I don't know if you saw this morning, this tree over here was hanging real low last week and the kids came over. They're like, they cut off the branches, they're gone. They were literally swinging like Tarzan last week. It was actually kind of funny to watch. But they pruned them back. Do you know what happens when the branches get pruned? The nutrients get pushed into the root system. So it pushes the nutrients down. And then what it does in the next season is it pushes the next season of growth out. So if you've ever been to our house, we have a pretty awesome fruit, right? We have limes. So when we first moved in, we had a crazy amount of limes on there. It had been pruned back. But just with our landlord and her house got burned down in the fire that happened, like, she just didn't come over and obviously, right, she didn't have time. It didn't get pruned in the right season. What I've noticed is it's actually producing less fruit. There's less limes on the big old tree this year than there was last year. I think it's because it's working on putting out more branches, but it's producing less fruit. But if it would have been pruned, it would have pushed it down, right, the nutrients down the root system, and then it would have produced even more limes this year. So this is super important for us to begin to grasp for how the Father works with us. So he's the gardener. Isn't that good news? Because your Father loves you. He's in your corner. He has a heart for you as a daughter and as a son. So if he's going to come, he's going to prune you or he's going to cut some things off. Like, he's going to do it for your good. And he's going to have the right heart motive. How many of y'all had a supervisor that you knew did not like you? And they did. Yeah, pretty much everyone like raise your hand, right? And you knew they didn't like you. And they were doing things to intentionally hurt you with malice. That's not the Father's heart. He's going to do it with love, care, and kindness. He's going to do it because he loves you. So the Father oversees all this, and he cuts off branches that don't produce fruit. Why? Because he wants to take the nutrients of the kingdom and put them where people are producing fruit. So if you're producing fruit, you're going to see more of the kingdom start moving in your direction to give you and supply what you need. But if you're not producing fruit, he's going to be cutting some things off so that he can take things elsewhere and start changing up your life. So when the branch is pruned, it's going to produce more fruit. So do you guys want more of God for your life and more of what God wants to do to advance in your life? We have to submit to his pruning. So pruning hurts. Like, I can tell you this, pruning hurts, but it has great purpose. How many of y'all run from pain? Handful of people. Thanks for the honesty, right? Our natural instinct is to run from pain. Did you know that Jesus, it says in Hebrews, he learned obedience from what he suffered? Jesus, being fully God and fully human, had to suffer so he can learn obedience to the Father. That's pretty wild. So if you begin to reshape your suffering in your life, the Father's actually wanting to train you to be obedient. So our culture says, run from pain. Jesus says, submit to the cross. So when suffering comes your way, the more you run, the farther you're going to be away from God, but the more you submit to the suffering in your life through the cross, the more Jesus can transform you and teach you obedience. So I'll tell you this. Enriched Church has had a season of advancement. The past 3 months, like, we have advanced significantly in terms of our growth, our church planters in training. We did our first conference. We had 7 churches, 20 people. We trained a bunch of people. I got invited to speak this weekend. We took some of our team at this conference, and I got asked to come to another conference this coming weekend to speak there. Like, a ton of growth, right? Moving forward, a ton of fruit. And then you know what the Father started doing? He said, Jared, in your heart, you got a ton of sin. I got to prune that mess up so that you'll be even more fruitful. So the Father wants us to produce fruit, but he wants us to be healthy because he cares more about your heart than what you do with your life. Right? So he cares about your heart more than you looking amazing on social media, right? Or whatever it is for you. He wants your heart to be transformed with his love and his power so that you can impact people with his love and his power rather than your own flesh. So when you're in a season of pruning, hear this because this is super important. During this time, God is often working out sin issues in your heart and behavioral issues in your daily life. So when God is pruning you back, he's working out sin issues in your heart, and your heart transformation will produce transformation in your behavior. Because remember, behavior is about obedience, but he wants the obedience to come from a pure heart of love towards him. So when he's working stuff out in your heart, just submit to him. Literally, if you want, you see me do it a bunch, I won't do it today, but literally get on your knees and say, Father, like, prune me, I submit. That's what I did. When I finally caught on what he was doing, I told Meredith, and I was like, you probably already knew before I did. She's like, oh yeah. Now, so I'm a little bit slower, right, catching on. She's pretty fast. I just went and I said, Father, like, you got to prune me. I just got my knees. I can't do this, but I submit to you. I submit to your process, right? So he said, hey, go apologize to Rick, make it right. Yes, Lord. He had me do some other things. Yes, Lord. Humbling myself before people and getting prayer from them, because that's what's going to change me, is humility and obedience. I'll tell you this. Be pruned rather than cut off. Right? Did you read that? It's pretty scary. Be pruned rather than cut off. If you fight pruning, he's going to cut you off. He's going to say, okay. That's the Father. Isn't that scary? He's going to cut you off. So submit to the pruning. But being cut off doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It doesn't mean you're cut off from God, right? Because you have to take the Bible in its whole context. You got the story of the prodigal son, right? Dude ran away from the father. I would say he was cut off, but he came back. If you think of the analogy of like the grapevines or trees, right? Branches can be grafted back in. How do you get grafted back in? You repent. You come back to God and say, hey, I messed up. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to start changing my heart and my life to align with you in obedience. You know what he does? He puts you right back into Jesus. He puts you back in the vine right there. And then you start getting the nutrients back. And then you start producing fruit. When you get thrown in the fire, that's the end of time, right? So that's the people who reject Jesus. That's where that comes into play. But Jesus says, remain in me, abide in me, hang out with me, be with me. So pruning hurts, it's deeply painful. Like, we're just going to name it for what it is. If you want to write this down, Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. It talks about how God is like a father who disciplines his children. How many of y'all had a father that disciplined you? How many of you got disciplined in a healthy way? How many of you felt you got disciplined in an unhealthy way? Right? I was probably more on the unhealthy side, just for my story. And a lot of people, if they have issues with their dads, they're not going to want to submit to the discipline of the father. They're going to want to rebel against him. So if you have a dad issue, forgive your dad and submit to the father, right? Because he loves you. If you read in Hebrews 12, it says he disciplines those he loves. So if the father loves you and you're getting disciplined, it's because he actually loves you. And it proves that you're his daughter or his son. So discipline from the father prunes us. It's super painful, but it proves our identity and proves his love for us. Like, if I didn't discipline my kids, if I just let them do whatever they wanted to do, they'd be crazy banshees, right? Like, they'd be just wild. But I discipline my kids because I love them, and it points them towards Jesus. Sometimes I mess up in how I discipline, right? And then you know what I do when I mess up with them? I go and I apologize to my kids. Hey, will you forgive me? And she's like, Daddy, you're cranky, right? Or you're being crabby. You're right. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Right? So there's things I need to take ownership for if I mess up, if I don't discipline in love, if I don't do it according to how God says to do it in the Word. So pruning is when the Father confronts an area of your life that needs to be corrected. Correcting hurts, but if you can learn to be teachable to God and the people that God places in your life, you're going to produce more what? Fruit. How many of y'all want to start leading more people to Jesus? Right? How many of y'all want to plant churches? How many of y'all want to be disciple makers? This is exactly how you do it. He's literally giving us the blueprint. And if we say yes to the blueprint and we're obedient, how many of y'all want to plant 100 churches? How many of y'all want to plant over 1,000 churches? I'm just expanding your vision. And churches are much more simple than you think. It's people who gather in the name of Jesus, who practice communion and baptism and make disciples. That's it. Y'all notice we don't have walls around us? Like, we meet at a park and we're a church, right? Ethan and Jen, they started a church in their house, right? They got some walls, but it's a different setup, right? So there's different ways that you can gather as the church, but at the core of it, it's what is a church? And pretty much anybody can do it. It's not that hard. It's much more simple. So if you feel like you've been cut off, like if you've rebelled against God or gone your own way, all you got to do is, so say like, see over there, that big old tree on the backside. If I ran away from God and I'm that far, if I turn around, God is instantly there. Like, it's not, he's not far away. Right? It says, draw near to God, I'll draw near to you. Repent, mourn, and wail, right? So you got to do your part of repentance and godly sorrow and submitting. So how do you get grafted back in? Or how do you go deeper in the abiding? Here's how it is. Let's look at verses 2 through 4. Excuse me, verses 3 and 4. So you've already been pruned and purified because of the message I've given you. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So it's all about the abiding in Jesus. It's all about remaining in him. When you remain in him, you're going to receive the nutrients. Now, I know a lot of people have started fasting in Rich Church, which is the culture we're building. When you hit like the end of day one, I was at the end of day one on Friday. Man, I was so crabby, to be honest, like, right? I wasn't getting the nutrients my body needed. It had began to shift my disposition. Man, when y'all on day two and day three and you got people day five and day 10, man, the nutrients that are not in your body, that's intense. Could you imagine if you're not abiding in Jesus, like after one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, what do you look like on the vine? You're shriveling up. And what's going to happen? You're going to get cut off so the nutrients can go elsewhere. But know this, the Father has an unlimited amount of nutrients in his soil for the kingdom. So as long as you keep remaining in Jesus and abiding in him, you're going to get everything you need, and he's going to advance you farther and farther and farther. The Bible talks about going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. That means there's more. There's always more. But if you think you've arrived, you won't be hungry for more. That's why you got to get your vision from Jesus. And if you get your vision from him, it's going to take a while to fulfill, and that's going to push you farther and farther and farther to chase him more and more. So Jesus' message prunes and purifies. This is when he speaks in your life and brings to light what needs to be corrected. Remember, he gave me 3 dreams. For God to give me 3 dreams, for anyone to get 3 dreams, it means he's being really serious. Like when he hits 3, it's serious. Or if you have the same dream twice differently in the same night, like with Pharaoh, that means it's very serious. I've had a couple of those. So when you get the dreams like that from God, he means pay attention. And if you don't pay attention, he's going to cut you off. Could you imagine if I didn't forgive those people? I don't know if y'all are picking up, but the Holy Spirit was beginning to dredge that mess up from my heart, and is beginning to get in my words. It's beginning to get in my tone, and I began to notice it. But then I said, get it out. Remember how I told you I was all having that crazy lower back pain? So I forgave those 2 people. The left side of my lower back and the middle of my lower back got better. But my right side was super painful. I actually haven't had pain in my back for a couple days. Because the mess in my heart, the sin in my heart that wasn't resolved, was actually manifesting physically. Do you know who's trying to get my attention with my back? It was Jesus. He's like, if you're not going to pay attention, all right, I'm going to let... He didn't cause sickness or disease. What he did is he probably removed his hand of grace a little bit, and he says, I'm going to let the mess out of your heart and into your body. And then, oh my gosh, it was actually so painful. It got my attention. Okay, God, I got this pain, right? So he's going to use the suffering in your life to get your attention to look to him. If you just run around and you have all this stuff going on, and you don't ask him, show me why, you're going to continue in that mess for a long period of time. But if you say, yeah, look in my heart and show me what it is. So you can either receive his message or you can reject his message. So you can receive it or reject it. If you reject it, it hardens your heart, because it says in Hebrews that if you hear his voice and you don't do what he says, you actually harden your heart. And that causes you not to be able to hear his voice even more. How many of you have a hard heart? How many of you think you may have a hard heart but don't know it? I can guarantee we can all raise our hands there, because there's stuff in our hearts that we don't know until the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, like he did with me. And so then, if I'm your average person, right? The funny thing is, you know, people, I have this role or this title, but the thing is, I've just been living this out, and God asked me just to do it full time differently with people, to train everyone to do it, right? So I'm just someone who said yes, and I'm the average person like everybody sitting here. And as long as we keep saying yes, he does more. So if you receive his message, he's going to prune you, but if you reject his message, he's going to cut you off. And that's super scary. Did you imagine if I was rebellious and disobedient, how that would begin to affect Enriched Church? What doors do you think would be open to the enemy to come in and start doing stuff, right? So think about your families. If you're the doorkeeper of your family, or for your kids, or for your workplace, or whatever it is, or your church, and you have the stuff in your heart that you're rebelling against God and not dealing with, the enemy is going to have access to everything under your authority and your span of care. And so it's extremely important that as leaders in our families, in our churches, our businesses, our organizations, whatever it is, that we keep clean and right with God, because it keeps the enemy out. Because Satan's looking for a way to get in. Like, for example, if I didn't make it right with Rick, what do you think Satan would have done to our relationship? I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to name it, right? And I knew I had to make it right, or else Satan was going to try and make this thing blow up. But I had to humble myself and ask forgiveness. So how do you get the message? You remain, you abide. You remain in Jesus, and he remains in you. Do you notice who's the first responsibility is? It's actually you. It's us. It says, you remain in me, and I'll remain in you. So if you want Jesus to remain in you, you have to do it first, and then he remains in you. It's all about your posture. So it's all about our heart posture with Jesus and what he wants to do in us. So what does it mean to remain? That's why we talk about our secret place so much here, is your time with Jesus that you have with him that you set aside. I know it's different for different people, because people got little kids, people got families, some people different life stages. So time looks different, or where you do that, or how you do that, or how you create space for your spouse, or what that looks like. But when you get in that secret place with him, that's the place where you just go to be alone with him, and you get in the word, you get in prayer, you get in worship, you get in his presence. Remaining in him is also obedience. It's also obedience. So you got to keep the remain thing the main thing. Like, you have to keep it the main thing. I was at this this gathering, and there was a national leader, the person that talked about. They were like kind of the right-hand person of the national leader that had fallen, that if I named everybody would know. And the guy made an observation of the fallen leader. He said he stopped keeping the remain thing the main thing. He stopped abiding in Jesus, and he drifted and drifted and drifted and drifted until it blew up. So when we remain in Jesus, we stay connected to the vine, then we produce much fruit. And then there's a cycle. You're going to produce much fruit. He's going to prune you back. So he might be working things out in your heart, like, do you trust me? Are you going to fear, or are you going to trust? And he's going to prune those things out of your heart and out of your life. So remaining keeps you connected to the vine. How many of you are willing to say, Father, prune me? Okay. That's more hands than I anticipated, because it can be painful, right? But open up your Bibles to this. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. So if you want to open up to that, or you can just listen as we'll read it. If you're like, where's Psalms? You can look in the table of contents in the front. If you kind of flip your Bible open to just the middle of the Bible, you'll probably got a good shot of hitting it. Yeah, Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24. So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Here's what it says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So I want to create a space for y'all to pray that prayer, if you're willing, right? Because if you pray it, search me, reveal the hidden sin in me that offends you, he'll show you, and then you'll have a choice. Do you want to receive the pruning, Or do you want to run away from his pruning process and he cuts you off until you come back? So take a few minutes with Jesus. Well, actually with the Father on this one, because he's the one who prunes. And say, Father, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me on your path of everlasting life. So take some of this time to invite the Father to prune you in those areas and the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what that is. And if you feel like in this coming period of time, like the heat's being turned up in your life and you're experiencing some pain from different directions, that's probably the pruning that's coming your way. And submit to the pruning. Remember, the Father loves you and he accepts you as a son or a daughter, and this is why he's wanting to prune you, because he's wanting you to be more healthy, more whole, and more fruitful for the kingdom and for the gospel. So Laura's going to come up and she's going to share a brief story of how Jesus has changed her and give people the opportunity to hear the gospel message. So thanks, Laura.
Hey, everyone. I don't know, this message has really hit me. There's definitely been a lot of pruning going on in my life lately. But just backtrack. Before Jesus, I came to know Jesus a lot later in my life, less than 2 years ago. I grew up in I didn't have a very good childhood, just a lot of chaos, you know, being raised by parents that struggled with drug abuse, abandonment, neglect, it just wasn't great. So I felt like I grew up learning not to rely on other people, not to trust other people, that if I needed something, I was in control of that. And so I just grew up with a really strong sense of that, and I just wasn't really introduced to God, Jesus. And then when I was, I just rejected it. I was like, well, that's not been my experience in life. Nobody's looked out for me, so I'm just going to keep that control. And I became very angry and a hard-headed atheist for a very long time. It wasn't until I was well into adulthood, parenthood, that all the things that I've struggled with my whole life, just anxiety, I had obsessive compulsive disorder, literally a disorder of control, like a desire of control, and depression, and everything that comes with all of that. Almost a couple years ago, I went through the darkest depression of my life. I didn't want to live anymore. So it was in that moment that I said, okay, I've tried everything in this life. I've tried my way. I've tried their way, the world's way. I've tried every single way. Okay, God, here's your chance. You know, show up if you're real. And I'm going to need you to intervene and like prove it to me. And then he did. He showed up in very real and tangible ways. And I was just convinced, and it just filled that void that was in my heart that I'd been trying to fill with everything else. And then I realized I don't need to control anything, because God can do that. He's the only one that can do that. Nothing else works, and I can tell you, because I've tried it all. And then life has just gotten better and better. Anxiety, you know, I've been on medication in the past, no medication, no nothing. I've never been done better in life than I have since Jesus, which is just crazy. It's just my testament to just how much having a relationship with him works, and seeing how much he wants to like partner with you and wants to take all of that trauma off of you, and take care of you. So that's my story. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that there is a God, that, you know, Jesus came down here. He lived a perfect life. He, absorbed all of our sins and everything that we do wrong, everything that I did wrong, and he absorbed it all, and he died on the cross for us all so that we could live eternally with him and be reunited with him and fill the void in our heart. So I just wanted to, if anybody else here is wanting that kind of relationship with God and hasn't made that step, and wants to take the leap of faith like I did, and see if God wants to show up and prove it to you, I just wanted to extend that invitation. Or if you're feeling a little dry with God right now and you want to re-invite him into your heart to just meet you where you are and reinvigorate you and light you on fire, then yeah, I just want to extend that invitation. You could stand, you could close your eyes, you could sit, you could open your arms. It's more about the position of your heart. So I'm just going to say a little prayer, and if you want to join in it in your heart, then you can do that. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this time. I thank you for what you've done in our lives. I thank you that Jesus, I accept you. I believe that you came down here to rescue us, not to condemn us. I believe that you have a plan for me and for all of us. I believe that you lived a perfect life and you died for our sins and you rose from the dead to give us eternal life. I confess that I am not perfect and I cannot do this on my own. It's only by your help that I am able to. And Jesus, I just accept you into my heart. I invite your Holy Spirit in to transform me from within, create a new heart within me, meet me where I'm at, and bring me to where you want me to be. Align my life with your will. And do all great things in me, through me. And I just accept you, and I thank you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks, Laura, for coming up. That was super powerful. Yeah. So if you want to learn more about how Jesus did that in her heart and her life, just go talk with her. She'll point you to Jesus and show you the way. So that's really cool. Well, let's do this. If you are able and willing, let's stand. We're going to pray. You can stay seated, whatever you want to do, but we're going to pray. And I just want you to posture your heart to Jesus and to give him permission to search your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to search you and then the Father to prune you. So Holy Spirit, we recognize that we got stuff hidden in our heart we don't even know is there until you bring it to the light. So Holy Spirit, we give you permission to search our hearts for the things that offend you, that you would expose them, that you would dredge them out, and Father, that you would prune them. We don't want to be cut off, Jesus. We want to just continue to abide in you, remain in you. So would you give us the necessary grace? Would you give us the necessary mercy? Because we're so dependent. Our spiritual poverty, we can't comprehend. We have such deep need. So, Father, we want to draw close to you as your daughter, your son, and be pruned because you love us. You discipline us because you love us. So use what you want to do. Would you show us the areas that you want to prune? That will be even more fruitful. We see more people come to know you, Jesus, more people baptized, discipled, more churches planted. We want increase, and so we want to do it your way. Jesus, we say yes to your way. So Jesus, would you release the grace that is needed for everyone here and anyone who's listening to this to receive what you want to do. We thank you, Jesus. And we want to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We look to you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.